This is Tea with Tom, or Tea as my sister calls me. Welcome to Tea with Tom. And the tea is just finished.
It's ready.
Yeah, it's ready. So we'll hit the button. But I'm here in Crestline, California. It's one of Southern California's mountain communities. It snowed last night, which down in the valley for us would really be a novelty. And I'm here at Higher Grounds Coffee Shop. And with me is the manager, Alicia, and I've known her since before the place opened,
right.
But really the man behind this shop is Pastor Bill across the table, and it's his church that has sponsored this shop and really has made it a hub of the community, and so we want to talk about all that stuff today. So anyway, welcome.
Thank
and
you.
It just so happens we have some tea.
Tea.
So yeah, imagine that. So you guys have been carrying Summit tea for a while, and we are really grateful. So we're going to try
actually since day one.
Mm-hmm.
Since day one. I like that. So we really appreciate you guys as customers. And so I thought as we talk, we really ought to try some tea. So this is just a little bit. And if you don't, this is matcha. So this is Japanese powdered green tea. So see how you like it. It's got that nice, fresh... There we go. So there it is. So let me start with you, Bill, because this coffee shop is really your vision and particularly the vision of your church. So how did this get started?
Well, and it's interesting when you say my vision, but it really started with Alicia as well, almost right from the start.
Okay.
When we started looking at the possibility about 12 years ago. This has already been a coffee shop and owned by three or four different people that have owned it. And as soon as I moved up here and became pastor of the church, our church is right behind us. The wall of the coffee shop ends and our property begins. There's no separation. It's wall and our property. So I looked at this corner and I said, what a great place. We need to have this corner for the church, for ministry purposes. And have talked to the owners over the years. And more recently, the most recent owner got into a negative place with the community.
Uh-oh.
And people got upset about it, and he was ready to sell.
Okay.
And I took it to the church, and within a weekend, the leadership said, let's put an offer. We put an offer. We took it, and then 2 months later, the church voted on it.
Yeah.
The church voted on it unanimously. And that same 2.5 month period, with even some help in the community,
yeah,
we raised the money for the 30% down payment.
No kidding. So you raised the 30% down
payment. We didn't have
it. Wow.
We definitely didn't have it.
Wow. So this was kind of a step of faith.
Big step of faith in many different ways.
Wow.
Yeah. So when we said, okay, we're gonna try to buy it, we still had to see, will the church say yes? Because that required unanimous. We had to work through all kinds of things with the previous owner and some challenges there and the building, and the list went on, right?
So, Alicia, how did you figure into the beginning of this?
Well, when all of this was going, kind of, they were starting to talk about it at the church, and I kind of wasn't sure what was going to happen. Bill comes up with really great ideas, and you know, you just never know what's going to happen or where things are going to go,
yeah,
especially with all that was on the table and all that could happen.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. But at that time, my husband and I were working for the church, doing the youth group.
Okay.
And so through just talking with Bill, he found out that we were really into coffee and visited coffee shops like on our spare time. It was our hobby. We were doing pour overs at home, loved Auggies, you know, like just found out about our
other good
our,
customer.
Yes.
Yes.
Just found out about our personal love for coffee and had worked with me with, you know, like in the youth group. And so just from there started to ask me if I would even be interested in something like that. And at first I was like, no, because it just was a lot of responsibility and I had never done anything like this. And I wasn't just being asked to be a manager. I was asked to help start this and open it and
figure
things out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it seemed like a lot and I didn't think I was capable to do it. And so that was kind of like a personal struggle in the very beginning, but then just felt like God was like, you got to do it. Like you got to push yourself and grow in this way that you've never grown before. And that sure did happen.
Not
so,
without problems, right? But,
yes.
But
yeah.
Here you are today.
So then, yeah, we went forward and and here I am.
Aren't you proud of her?
Oh, very proud of her. Her love for coffee, obviously. But more than that, also her love for the Lord.
Yeah.
The relationship she had with people. All those things were things I said, we need to have relationship here. And we've had the phrase, community happens here.
Right.
And we really want community here. And so she demonstrated that already with our youth, besides the fact that we called her mom. Because mom was our organizer, right?
I was going to say, you'd have to be awfully young to think of you in terms of mom. But anyway, yeah.
But she was such an organizer that even the other staff looked at her that way. So like, this would be a perfect fit, the coffee love, the love for God, the love for community, and her skills as an organizer.
Well, here we are, 2 years later?
Two.
2 years later, and look how you've grown. Look at this shop. I would venture a guess that it, in some ways it's exceeded your expectations.
In many ways, yeah.
It's a lot more than coffee, obviously.
A lot more.
What we do with tea, what we do with our chai teas or matcha. There's so much that we do here. We bake our own goods.
That's right. They have that beautiful kitchen / bakery in the back. Most places, they're just crammed into this little tiny space. You guys, yeah.
We have a better space for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, so 2 years ago, you had a vision to get started with this. One of the things I find that can be underassessed is the need to be established in a community, particularly if it's a smaller community like this one. So the fact that you've been a pastor of the church right next door, as you were explaining, you know, helps. But on the other hand, this cafe isn't really the church.
Right.
So how did you guys kind of sort that out? I mean, this isn't a religious establishment, right?
Well, theologically, I could talk about that one. But what is the church? There's a whole discussion there. The church is so much more than a building, right? The church is about people, and it is about community. It is about caring. It is about doing things that are going to meet needs in the community. So yes, there's things that we end up doing here that may be helping people. A lot of people come through here and have meetings here and gatherings here.
Well, I saw the Rotary Club has a banner on the outside of the building.
We're getting ready for a big community Thanksgiving dinner, and so that's one of the ways to be a part of the community. You'll notice there's a sign over there for the Pregnancy Resource Center, and there's been different things like that here. We've had the supervisor here before her election, when she was elected, and we had candidates forum, and we'll just do different things like that. Pete, was just here the other day, school board.
Mm-hmm.
So there was coffee, I think they called it coffee with the school board coffee with a board member, something like that. And so we've had coffee with a cop, different things that are just trying
coffee
to help.
Coffee with a cop. There we go.
So our sheriffs will come, and
the
CHP, we had several of them.
Yes. It's actually really fun.
there are about, 20 officers here, deputies and officers.
You guys have done some really creative things. Like you invited us to a pop-up event that you were here. So we met the guy. It's got the hiking equipment place, and there's another guy who was selling comic books, and I mean, there's this big potter and all that kind of stuff.
The local potter that we have right here.
I have mugs done for him.
I like
there's
him.
There's a lot going on in our town, and I think part of what I really wanted to do was to make sure that we were supporting all the small businesses that are around us, to make sure that we had those partnerships, to make sure that if, somebody was having their grand opening, we had coffee there, to make sure that if we were doing like a marketplace, I really wanted to do a lot of marketplaces so that we could have, local not only just small businesses that already have a storefront, but people that are doing it from their home that are, you know, hand making things. There's a lot of people up here, like handmade candles and jewelry, and like there's just so much up here that people don't even know. Yeah. People don't even know how much is on our mountain, and I try to keep it as local as possible, even with our artists. That's been a really successful way to be a part of our community, to invite the community in, to see new artists, to support one another.
Yeah.
So we have a monthly artist come in, and that's been really fun. And so things like that have been really helpful in reaching out to our community, to be a part of it, to show that we care, to show that we want to support one another.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between saying that we want to integrate with the community and then doing it,
mm-hmm.
right? And you guys not only do it, but you continue to do it and do it really well. Like you mentioned, you know, the local businesses and all of that, how in a small community you fit into that existing structure of, you know, leaders and leadership and local businesses and so on is really important. And I know we had a customer just across town in a grocery store, a cafe over there. And I know that, I remember, Alicia, you telling me about how there was a tea that you chose not to have in this shop because you didn't want to compete. Tell me the story about that. I thought it showed a lot of respect for that community.
Yeah, so in the beginning we were trying to figure out which teas would be successful here. And we had heard about a group that used to meet here when it was the previous coffee shop, and they were a jasmine tea group. And so
yeah, I love those
it's
guys.
Like an older group of people, and they meet like every Saturday or something like that. I don't know all the details, but they just sit and talk about the town and all kinds of things. And we really kind of were interested in maybe getting that group back, you know, once we reopened. But then we found out that they were actually meeting at the grocery store that's in town, because they also have the coffee shop / tea whole section, you know.
Juice and
they have like an actual little cafe in there. And so we, from the beginning, mm-hmm. were really, with every decision that we make, we're very careful about not competing, but only promoting community. And so that wasn't something that we chose to put on our menu, because we wanted to make sure that that market, the owner of the market, which, you know, Bill is personally really close with, but then also just
Mike,
very,
right?
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, he's very well known in the community. And we, yeah, we just felt really good about, you know, that's something that's going well for them. So we will not be putting that on our menu to try and steal or do anything that could seem just not what our
yeah,
heart is
not what your heart
for.
Is. Yeah.
yeah. So
yeah, I think that shows respect.
Mm-hmm.
Respect goes a long ways, you know.
It does.
And anyway, so fitting into the community is a big part of what you do. And I think that's something undervalued by coffee shops. Sometimes I'll sit down with an owner and they'll say, you know, I grew up around the corner from this shop. And so they've got family, they've got history.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an easy thing for them because they're
yeah.
already there. But a lot of people do come in from the outside. And so how do you position yourself
mm-hmm.
becomes really important, because you don't want to step on people's toes, because that will affect your business, you know?
Yes, it's very different up here, especially. I did not grow up
Bill,
here.
You laugh.
I did not grow up here. I did not grow up in a small town in general. And it is a completely different system. It is a completely different just a way of living up here, and you really have to be extra careful, extra intentional. And I think it's taught me a lot of lessons, just in how anyone should do business, just in how what it really means to be in a community, you know? And so, yeah, it is quite different up here. You have to make sure that you take everything into account, every, you know, small business owner up here, and in making decisions as far as your business goes, it does affect the entire community. So that's been a very valuable lesson that I've learned over time. But yeah.
Nice to have Bill here to kind of take you under his wing. You
yeah.
know, talk
yeah.
about being in the community for a while.
Yes, definitely.
This is a small mountain, rural mountain community, right?
Okay.
And people move out of the big city to get away from the people. Well, where do they move to when they do that? To a small mountain rural
community
where they can somewhat hide,
yeah.
be very be individualistic, yeah. Be very even demanding at times. And there's, I mean, it's a very unique place. I was joking about it. Earlier, you have to be careful because you up here, people get move away where they can get to be alone, and then they guard it with a gun. And my son, when he was doing the census in the area, actually had to be careful about that. So it's a unique community. But then LA has its guns too, right?
Well, I suppose so.
But the thing is, with a community like this, you know a lot about people, and it's a place where, because it is a small community, you could have a lot of gossip. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of knowledge of one another. We know the needy that are in our community as well. We know a number of them by name. We'll see them around. We'll greet them by name and all. And so, and then just like this, the president of the chamber is right across the street from us. and there's all the kinds of relationships that we have. We know sheriffs, deputies, and people
big
like
network,
that. Because we're all part of this community. And all of that is about building relationships.
Yeah, very much so. Well, so, what word would you say to, let's say, a church or a not-for-profit or organization or community-related organization that is kind of like the people that are the best-kept secret, the artisans here in the community that don't have a storefront? I mean, and they're looking for a way of serving the community in a broader sense. What would you say about to consider as far as a coffee shop or something like it?
Well, for one thing, I'd say believe. But that sounds like a religious term, doesn't
well,
it?
Pastor
but,
Bill, I'm not sure that's so foreign an idea,
but,
right?
But believe. I mean, even if you didn't have any kind of religious background, if you believe something, if you believe a dream, if you believe a vision,
got your vision, yeah.
and then you go and don't just make that, this is my vision and you all need to come and support it. But instead, you go and you share that vision, you sell that vision, you communicate that vision, you reshape that vision. But believe you can do it. I mean, that's why we went to the church with it, and that's why we took it on and see it as opportunity. And so it's, you want a word, believe.
Yeah. Well, so just out of curiosity, is the shop here for profit and the church not for profit?
Great question. Church is a non-for-profit, 501c3, just like any other church is. Yeah. But the coffee shop is a separate corporation from the church.
Okay.
It is a social purpose corporation.
Okay. So
which is a unique kind of corporation. You have to design and communicate some type of social purpose that you're going to meet through that.
Right.
It's
you guys
still
have been,
it's for profit, so we're paying all the taxes like anybody else's.
Right.
Which actually has also worked to our benefit for some of what the church is trying to do by being here on this corner. Because there's people, oh, well, you're a church. You're not paying taxes. You're not participating. Oh, no. In fact, in a recent meeting, I was, no, we're paying taxes like everybody else, just like you are. And that helped us have ownership in the community, too, and respect.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't realize that. That seems like a good idea. So, in a sense, part of the risk of this by the church would be that it could go underwater and kind of pull the church down with it. So, keeping them separate makes a lot of sense to me. But on the other hand, it gives you a chance to really authentically give back to the community when things cost money and all that sort of thing. Like, I was up here one time, and your patio out and back, somebody had brought in tons of sand, and it turned it into a beach.
Yes.
And on a theme related to Vacation Bible School, which is for kids in the community, right? So what was that about?
Well, we actually did a children's program for a whole week, and it was right out there. And so the people who were decorating put artwork all around, and it was from the stories of the Old Testament and David and the children of Israel and coming across from out of bondage, right? And so those stories were there, and there was a safari theme that went with it. So they put the sand down there so the kids would be on the sand. And so we had children out there. We did games out there. Our music was out there. Our Sunday morning, we do a finale event for our Vacation Bible School. Yeah. So we invite the parents to come back and all. So that was all out there on a Sunday, too. And then we've done some things like that. But, yeah, there was a good bit of sand we had to clean up.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was tremendous. Mm-hmm. I think it showed that just how much effort you're willing to put into what you guys have so articulately called community and your place in it. Anyway, and it seemed to me kind of like where the profit and the not-for-profit kind of mesh, right? Because I'm sure people bought coffee in the process. I did, you know. And so, you know, why can't the two really intermesh together while respecting the, you know, the necessary boundaries between that? Anyway, I thought it was a tremendous idea.
We've actually, by doing that, we've actually hired Alicia for the church. So Alicia works here as a manager, and she works for the church rather than technically the coffee company.
Oh, really?
So she's our manager working in the coffee company.
Well, that's interesting. How does that work out for you? Do you notice any difference?
Seems to be fine.
When Bill says, how was prayer today? Did you pray with us?
Yeah. It's just a different expectation. Like little this, Bill?
Oh, yes, yeah. Please.
So we just had some matcha. Yeah, and now chamomile spice. Oh, yeah. So
thank you.
I'm not leaving Alicia out of this. Is she just saying she's
not my favorite.
She's been drinking coffee all day, so we don't want to make things worse.
Just the smell.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. This is a great fall time and winter tea for some places. Mm-hmm. So now it didn't really fly here, which I thought was interesting.
Which is surprising because it's cold up here. We introduced it in the fall too. So it seemed cozy. It seemed, you know, fall flavors. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, this is kind of part of why as Summit Tea Company, we kind of realize that it's almost impossible to guess the exact tastes of your community.
Yeah.
And so we need to start at a general point, and then we need to kind of refine and tweak it and find out what really works. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing that for about 2 years up here now. Yeah. So, yeah, tell me about you have a selection behind the bar that's kind of a result of that process. So how's that worked out?
It's worked out pretty fine, actually. We have Earl Grey, chai, your Green Mountain Thunder, peppermint, and then blueberry. And those are all teas that can be served hot. And then we cold brew only a few of those. We do blueberry, tropical black, which tropical black we don't always offer as a hot tea. That one also didn't go so well being served hot, but once we cold brewed it and served it for iced tea, it was very successful. We also do the green tea, and then we introduce peach. So we have four teas that we cold brew, steep for anywhere from 24 to 48 hours, depending on how strong we want it to be, and we bottle it, and then we serve it over ice. And those have been, even during the winter, we get people coming in.
People drink iced tea year-round,
how we serve our tea, and so.
Well, I mean, I told you the story about Patty and I when we came up here, and, you know, we just like to stop in and see how things are going, and nothing like doing a little spot check, no pressure, you know, and we got one of your cold, steep teas. Patty got the Green Mountain Thunder, and we both tasted that. And it just absolutely blew our minds. And here we are, the tea people, you know, not unfamiliar with Green Mountain Thunder.
Yeah.
What we deduced is that it's the water. Mm-hmm. The thing about the mountain community is that at least part, Bill was explaining earlier, part of your water supply, particularly on this side of town, comes from wells.
Yeah.
So this is well water that's coming down. Now, it is filtered, right? I mean, it goes through the city process.
Filtered through the earth.
Oh,
natural filter.
Now we're talking. Yes. So anyway, your commercial time, by the way, your cold brewed Green Mountain Thunder here is the best I have ever had it anywhere.
Wow.
Good job.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's worth a drive to Crestline just to get.
It's very refreshing. It's very well balanced. Yeah. Yes, it's good.
Yeah, so, you know, you've got the water going for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a great thing. Well, let's see. So one of the things I'm curious about, too, is the culture of your coffee shop. So any organization has a culture and kind of creates one, usually through the personalities of the people, input of the community, and other factors, right? So how would you describe your culture? You know, like what you're trying to accomplish here among the employees and kind of what you project?
Mm-hmm. I would say very kind and very positive culture has been something that from the start we have really wanted to cultivate here. So with hiring our staff, we go through a pretty good process with each one of them. We want them to be set apart. We really don't just need another barista or another cook or another dishwasher. We really need people who care about being here. We really need people who care about the person on the other side of the bar that they're serving each day. Yeah. And that, you know, each person we hire has a true servant's heart and can, you know, handle when a negative customer comes in, but not just with good customer service, but with a caring heart, knowing that that's another person struggling this day. And yeah, it's not fun to be, you know, given attitude or, you know, to take the brunt of somebody's bad day. But
that's when your culture shines.
That is part of being a part of a community is you walk through that with. And these are people that we see every single day, you know. Yeah. And so we do really have true regulars here. We do have people that come in every single day to support us. And they're not always nice. Well, even the ones that come in every day and still support us, you know. And so we as a staff, we as a team really need to make sure that we're good on our end so that we can take care of everyone who comes in and so that we can be there for one another. We've had staff members pray with people from the community who have seriously would just walk in and you can tell that something's wrong and they genuinely ask, how are you doing? Like, is everything okay?
Right.
And we've had one staff member do that with a customer, and she, the second she started talking about what was happening, she broke down in tears. And our staff member walked around the bar, hugged her, and then prayed with her because, you know, we want to be different. But not only that, every person that we hire, that's just kind of a part of their personality and a part of their heart also. And so that has definitely helped our culture.
Wow, okay.
Be kind. I think that's really important, to be kind. There's this one customer who comes in all the time. He's very grumpy, not having a good day, really any day. And we've just continued to be kind. And now he'll have full-on conversations with us, and I actually saw him laugh the other day. And I was like, "This is what it's about, you know. Like, this is really what it's about—to not just get them a good cup of coffee or a good tea or a good pastry. Like, that stuff is very important to have a quality product, but there has to be more than that. There has to be more than just serving the product. There needs to be something to back that up."
We actually said, though, when we started this, and it's our mission to show, and it's theological again, but it's to show people the love of Christ through great coffee, through great tea, through great products, and through a place where they experience community.
Wow. Well, bravo. Yeah, I'm really proud of you guys. What you're doing here is not easy to do, and I think you've really taken a hold, and you're consistent. You know, I really see that. The fact that there's a church behind this building, not just physically, but organizationally, the fact that the values of that come through and create a culture here, I think is really awesome.
See that in our staff, too, because they care about each other. And I think it starts there, too. Because
yeah,
if they didn't care about each other, then they're not going to do a pretty good job of caring for that person who walks through the door.
Yeah.
So that's when you talk about culture, it begins here, begins with us, begins with what the staff does.
Yeah, and something that's I think is really important when you are leading a team or when you are a part of a team, just knowing that you're human and sometimes you, and I'm talking about me personally, sometimes that gets stagnant also. And realizing that, you know, if you're having a hard time in your life or whatever, as a leader, it is going to affect your team and there's going to be a morale shift. And so something that's super important in a team is being willing to own up to those things and to then
not
do
be the perfect
a culture
person.
Change. Yeah. And to be ready to address things, even if it's, you know, within the team, but especially when it's in yourself, knowing that you're going to struggle sometimes and you're going to have a hard time leading others. And that's something that I've had to learn, you know, each season that we go into, there's different struggles and there are different things that come up. And so it's really good to own up to that within your team, build that trust, work on those things. And that will eventually start
over
to trickle
time,
down
it'll pay
and
off.
That will change that culture. So
yeah.
If you are having a culture issue within your team, you have to check yourself first and, you know, work on those things, address those things, have a good team meeting where you talk through everything and say, all right, now we're going to be different. We're going to walk through this differently and we're going to be better all together, you know, and that will really help.
Now, do you see why I hired her as manager?
Yeah, I get that.
That didn't come right away.
Yeah, well, see, the fact is that many coffee shops, not just coffee shops, but many coffee shops have trouble attracting, you know, people who have that servant's heart.
Right.
They have a hard time retaining those people.
Yeah.
And it's because the work just becomes work. And it's like, you know, am I really being paid enough to deal with the grumpy person every day? And so it becomes a transaction. I work for money and my own happiness, right? Well, what happens when there's a problem in there? And so they go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people sometimes use the word family, but that can mean different things too. But I like the idea of a team, of the way you're describing it. I mean, that's the kind of team people want to be part of, really.
Yes.
They want to be known. They want to be able to be themselves. You know, and to be so in a way where other people accept them in the ups and downs, right? I mean, that's a good place to be. That's kind of a picture of the church, isn't it?
Sure enough is.
I got it. How did that happen?
Well, I think it's interesting when you think, go back to when they used to have the bar, that, you know, place where people will know my name.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm forgetting what the program
cheers.
Was.
Cheers. Yeah.
Cheers, right?
Still popular today.
It's still popular. Well, isn't that what a coffee shop can be too?
Can be,
People, place where people come and people know your name, and that's probably part of the environment that we try to have here.
Right. Okay. Well, let me change direction here a little bit, because I know some people that watch this are kind of asking the question, well, how do I get started? It's great to hear now that you're running and things are going well, but how do I get started? So, Bill, you mentioned that you guys raised your 30% down payment from the community. So, you know, can you kind of unpack that for us? How did you do it? What did you say? I mean,
well, it helped that there was relationship already taking place in the community.
Yeah, you are part of the community already.
So because we're part of the community, and the community heard about this corner and what had happened here, and there was a lot of negative going on about the corner. It was about to become a cannabis location, and that became a problem, and there were a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, there were enough people that were negative that when the church stepped in to buy the property, the community reacted with, like, excitement, exhilaration, literally with coming and saying thank you. There was so much appreciation that the local newspaper said, I want to put a thermometer in the newspaper for you. So they put a thermometer in the paper
for
the fundraising. Now, 95% of what we raised, maybe even more, was all inside the church.
Yeah,
but it's still,
I
had people walk up to me and hand me $100. Here, this is for the coffee shop.
People were like slipping checks and envelopes through the crack of the church
Of the church door.
So there'd be like envelopes on the floor when he would come into church.
Yes.
Wow.
And there was a few people that did it online. So it was,
but
the big thing was starting with the church. The church, for us, the church had to have that sense of we're in this or we're not in it.
Or else there would be already, you know, what's the word? Separation.
Division and conflict.
Division,
and
that was the word I was looking for, division. And that would already...
Are you going to have some more of that chamomile?
Well, no, but I was going to offer you. Mine got cold. So this is a tea wort, so it has holes.
Oh, good. Okay,
so
you can discard it.
You just pour the tea out onto the board, and it goes through the hole. So it's actually very, very polite to do that.
Oh, yes. Oh, the chamomile spice.
So it's not quite as piping hot, but how about that?
Just enjoy.
Want to try this one? Okay, want to hold your cup over the board? I'm afraid I'm going to drip a little bit here.
Let's just do that then.
I keep giving my carafes away, so.
Okay. That's perfect.
But we had to,
so
had to communicate with
cheers.
The church. Thank you.
Well done.
Oh, sorry.
Higher Grounds team.
Thank you. We had to communicate with the church, and the church then, once the church felt like they were in, then you had to say, okay, then we need to raise this money. And that will be another step. That's one of the ways that for us, that you see, okay, is God in this or not?
Yeah.
And it was amazing how, because we had, what was it, 3 months? Less than 3 months, because we had we started a 90-day escrow, and we started the escrow, or we actually did the offer before we had approval from the church.
Well, there we go.
So, but the board met, board talked about it, board prayed about it, board voted unanimously to do it, when in previous times there had been opportunities to buy this, and it had been unanimous no.
Oh, okay.
There were times before this ever became a coffee shop, before anything was done on this property, there was opportunity to buy it, the board voted no. So over the years, there's been no votes. And we went, and even since I'd been here 12 years ago, we had a conversation early on about the possibility, and it was a no vote. But
wow,
this
so
time,
you have a sense of God's timing with all this. Not
very
just,
much
not
so.
Not just simply taking advantage of a vacant property.
No, it was very much unique timing and seeing that as the right time to do it.
Okay. So you went down and took out a loan for the remaining 70%. So that loan is in the name of the...
Crestline First Baptist Church.
Oh, the church took out the loan.
Church took out the loan, and the loan is on the church property, actually.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
I think this is a part of a collateral. We used this in one other piece because we have like a parsonage, and so there's a couple of pieces that were used for the collateral.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Because you don't know what the corner is going to do.
Right.
But it keeps it tied to the church.
Yeah, that's right. But independent too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the situations where people kind of figure out how to walk that line,
mm-hmm.
you know, in an authentic sort of way, like you guys are doing. So would you comment any further about how that worked that might be instructive? Let's say there's another church or another pastor out there thinking, doggone it, we need to do this.
Well, pastors are surely have a fair understanding of how to raise money in their own church and to do some type of a capital campaign, something that's going to put a vision out before the, because that's what
right.
we did.
It's not a foreign
idea.
We
put the
for
vision
church,
out
right.
there, exactly, and said, here's our vision, here's what we believe God's calling us to do, here's what it's going to take, the finances to do that is God. And then, and we didn't, on this one, we didn't have any kind of a fundraiser come in, we didn't hire a professional, which
sometimes
people would
do,
say
yeah.
is not wise, but we felt like this was something that let's take to the church, let's see. And the way God brought the money together was just
well. I love the little
special.
Pile of envelopes stuffed through the crack in the
it
door.
Was.
Yeah,
mean, that,
it was like every week.
That works all day. Okay, so you had your money. Okay, so then you need to.
But so you got to look for resources, obviously, within your church and like this. And we actually went to our own our Christian credit union.
Right.
But we actually found, again, because of local connections. There's a local bank that we were able to get a better rate from. And in fact, that accepted us and our credit better. We had no loans, no debt on our property.
Okay.
And so we were really in a positive position, but we were accepted better at a financial institution that was
sure.
a secular institution.
Oh, yeah. Well, credit unions and banks kind of have a different set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool how that worked out. So you finance it here locally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes a difference too, I would think, as opposed to going online or looking for something like
that.
Right,
this was somebody that knew the community, which helped. The bank at the time was even talking about putting possibly a teller out here.
Oh.
So it was just something, again, that was that looking for those, it was part of that timing.
Yeah.
What I call Kairos timing.
Yeah.
Is timing that said, okay, is this, if this was all going to come together if it was right.
Right, and it certainly has and has been.
Same thing also at that time, we connected with Stevie from Arcade Coffee Roasters in Riverside.
Yeah.
Stevie was a really, wouldn't you say, a great resource for us? He helped, he gave training to our staff. He really helped us redo our equipment in here because we really needed to change pretty much everything in here.
He needed to do some upgrades.
So he helped us actually purchase equipment, find what would be best for us. And so and we tried different roasters before we made our selection.
Right, right.
But we were looking at somebody that would give us that local support, not just sell us coffee beans,
also the holistic support with the machinery and so on. Is there a maintenance contract that comes with it? Or is the maintenance
Yeah, it's called yours? Pastor Bill.
Pastor Bill and a pipe cleaner,
yes,
right?
But as far as the espresso machine and our grinders and stuff, they do have a mechanic that will come up specifically for us to help us.
Okay, you just have to let them know.
Mm-hmm,
Okay.
For the espresso machine.
Every question that I have, I shoot one of their team members a question, or I shoot them a text. They've been available for us, I mean, since we opened.
That's
great.
They
are our sole provider of coffee right now.
Yeah,
and
well, they've earned that spot.
Yeah, they've been really awesome.
Okay.
They helped us purchase our espresso machine, actually get it at a good price, and other equipment that we have in here.
So that can be very expensive. It can be like buying a car,
mm-hmm.
right? So did you, I mean, was it a cash purchase? Did they give you terms or contract?
In this case, we did a cash purchase.
Okay.
So
well,
as we raised our funds, that was one of the things that we felt like we needed to put the cash into right from the start. If you're going to have a coffee shop, you better have a good espresso machine.
Something that's going to last. Yeah, that's right.
So, and then some of the other equipment, our grinders and some of our other coffee.
So those ones they found used, the grinders. The espresso machine
they
and the
found
brewer.
Them.
Yeah, we got these
they did all the
through Arcade. Stevie
okay.
did
so.
So they have an eye out for
mm-hmm.
quality used equipment or maybe mm-hmm. in other places upgrading and so on.
Yeah, they have connections and just like people that they're able to order things straight from. And they're very resourceful.
Gee, that's good. So mm-hmm. getting those things lined up at the beginning. You need
It's really about lining up with it's about lining up with people. I mean, if you think about it, so there were people locally like the local owner, general manager of the grocery store, my friend Mike.
Yeah.
There were people like Stevie from Arcade.
Yeah.
There was the bank manager, the owner that we met. Frankly, what you did for us,
mm-hmm.
okay? Tom, to have people that we could meet with and learn from and could give us their wisdom and all. And that's why, and we were looking for something more than just, okay, let's just get coffee. Let's just get tea, whatever we can buy. Let's do something that's going to make a difference somewhere else too, where we know something about the growers. We're doing something that's value added. That was another theme behind what we were doing. So connecting with people like you really helped us do that. And if you don't remember,
you're gonna make me blush on my own video here.
Well, you even helped us connect with some other people too. You even did an event for us where we connected with other roasters and coffee brewers and coffee shops. And so things like that are just the networking that is so good, which is locally, but then like what you did for us, even broadening that. So all that really made a difference for us.
Oh, cool. Well, that's gratifying to hear.
Good.
Yeah. So really we would say a good word then probably to someone looking to start up is that you really do have to have those strategic relationships.
Mm-hmm. To have support.
Yeah. Yes. So it's not enough just to have people to wish you well.
Yes.
Right. But people who are like benevolent supporters who want you to win.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And they'll help provide for that. That's great. So,
To be honest, we didn't fully know what we were doing in the beginning.
We didn't know what we were doing. Church, right?
I think with every step that we took, it was because somebody was helping lead us along the way. it was like, okay, in my head, I was like, well, first thing I should do is get a roaster, a good roaster. And then from there, we got our machines. And then from there, OT. And then from there, it was just like, you know, because people were coming alongside us and willing to walk through it with us, we're here today, you know? And I think that's absolutely necessary, is to surround yourself with people who are willing to teach you what they learned, you know, willing to walk through with you what they walked through. Yeah. Some people on their own, and those are some of the people that are more willing to walk through that stuff with
you. Yeah,
because they don't want you to go through that.
Arcade
is one great example, is they just started in a little warehouse, you know, box, roasting coffee, and then kind of not really supposed to be selling coffee. And then from there, they grew so much, but they learned so much on their own. And now that's why they're so willing to come alongside every wholesale account they have. It's not just another wholesale account. It's somebody, let's make sure you're successful. Just like you did for us was really great.
We're really willing to listen and learn. I mean, we really are. So what we did with Arcade, just today I went to Rosebud Coffee in Pasadena, and like the event
they're
run by a church too.
Yeah.
And just to keep listening and learning. And I think that's true with any kind of a business. Listen to others around you.
Well,
be humble enough to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really important word, Bill, is humble. You know, I think, some people are just dyed-in-the-wool do-it-yourselfers. So they feel like they have to know everything. They have to know all the details and all this. And there is a side to that, right, that's important. But on the other hand, you can't know everything. You know, you're not going to, without a great deal of time and parallel tracks, know what your coffee roaster knows. You know, and so those relationships going forward, just absolutely pivotal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of your greater team, really.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, let me look at my notes and make sure we got this thing pretty much covered. Yes. Everybody likes to hear war stories. So what were some of the big, hairy obstacles and problems that you encountered? That'll work too.
Every day there's something.
I mean, no, those things are really
interesting. What was it this morning? The cream that was.
Oh yeah, we just got a big order of half and half from restaurant. Supply store.
Yes, right.
And it was all bad.
Oh.
And the date is for January.
Two boxes.
Dang.
And we just bought it on Tuesday.
That's just kind of unfortunate. And it's just something you have to figure out. Like, hey, Bill, like, we got to return this and get our money back because that's not our fault.
Yeah.
We stored it all at the correct temperature, did all the right things. And then we got to run to our local Goodwins and get half and half, they have saved our lives so many times.
Good for them.
And so, yeah.
And we have to run off the mountain real fast to get it before other things. And so,
So there's always something. But
There's been so many things. When we first started out, every piece of refrigeration unit in here was broken.
Oh.
After we started, before we even really knew it, right? Mm-hmm. We had started, we had to come in and got some things just cleaned up and all.
Yeah.
But then every piece was broken.
It was right before right before our first summer, everything started to kind of fail.
Everything needed work.
Yes.
I mean, the refrigerator, the freezer, the ice maker, the cooler unit right here. There wasn't
to inherit
one.
These things, but
these were all the things these were all the things we bought when we bought the building.
Oh.
Which should have
been working.
Yeah.
In a perfect world,
the list goes on, the kinds of facility issues that are around here that are roof leaking and whatever else. I mean, there's lots of things like that.
And then we're trying
to deal with the county to try to see if there's not a way to expand, because if you could see on the camera, we're in the biggest section of our seating area.
Yeah.
We only have room here for 13
chairs
during the winter inside. Now, summertime is great. We've got
patios
and picnic tables, and we've got umbrellas out there, and we've got a stage out there, and the blue sky. But wintertime, it's a little harder, like when it was snowing yesterday morning and then raining after that.
Yeah.
And so we really want to expand this, but that has its own challenges that go with that.
Well, in the right time.
In the right time.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. I want to thank you guys for the interview. It's awesome. And Tea with Tom is really actually about you guys more than it is about Summit. Thank you for your kind words. I mean, our ambition is to do our part in contributing to your success. And it's exciting to come and share in that a little bit with you.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, Alicia. Thank you,
Pastor
Bill.
You're welcome, Tom.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
You bet.
Thank you for your support.